The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Well, I am delighted now that we are joined by one of the most brilliant journalists and novelists in American life over the last 50, 60 years. Tom Wolfe has written some of the most brilliant pieces about American life and some of the most fantastic novels as well, such as The Bonfire of the Vanities and also A Man in Full. Tom Wolfe, thank you very much for joining us here on The Last Word today.
It's my pleasure.
So tell us, first of all, what do you make of Donald Trump's victory to be the next president of the United States of America?
Well, the first thing that occurs to me is that people have become used, I mean, I think they've become used to not telling the truth to pollsters. It seems to be that practically all the big, important polls in the United States were wrong in this instance, and people relied upon them and thought this was going to be the outcome. The outcome of the election was going to be exactly what the pollsters said. It was exactly what the pollsters didn't say. It's a strange situation in that the expectations were turned completely upside down. Polls did not reveal the fact that there has been a lot of economic turmoil in the United States ever since the whole business of globalization began to take hold. It was really during the 1990s that became such an important factor. People were, in this country anyway, were generally persuaded, I think, that it was very natural for jobs to go to previously undeveloped nations where the cost of labor was cheaper. And this generally had led to a lot of people losing the kind of employment that they thought they should get. And even though they got new employment, it was inferior and something they were not trained for. And I think all those chickens that come home are coming home to roost and ended up in the triumph of Donald Trump.
But Tom Wolfe, how can Donald Trump be the representative of those people? Because Donald Trump is a billionaire, allegedly, even if he's not quite a billionaire. He's a man who has built his wealth on property speculation, on taking advantage of the financial travails of others, on building a brand name, on having cheap labour in the United States, on investing his money overseas, even in countries like Ireland, where he buys the likes of golf clubs. How can he be a representative of those people who feel disenfranchised by the spread of globalisation?
I think it's his personal manner. He doesn't seem like a person of great established wealth. His mode of speaking is very colloquial. He often does not really finish sentences. He's much better at expressing an emotion. He's not great at the closely reasoned arguments. This has served him well because you're quite right. He seems like part of the common people. He's very uncommon. He also is one of the few media celebrities who's ever run for high office in this country. His television program, The Apprentice, brought him great publicity. He was a man with a common touch, even though it's in the midst of great wealth. But his wealth has gone up and down precipitously. At one point, as we now know, he was close to $1 trillion in debt because of various bankruptcies. But then he's bounced back. So he really has not seemed like an established, even though he has the money, he doesn't seem like part of any establishment.
Tom Wolfe, your wonderful late 1990s book, A Man in Full, had as its main character a property developer, Charlie Croker, who was an ageing billionaire with a young trophy second wife who liked to emblazon his name on his vanity developments. Was he modelled on Donald Trump?
I didn't model him on Donald Trump, but that's a very good example that you've chosen. So many developers are like cowboys. They're not part of biggest establishments. They're not held back by huge corporate apparatus that simply won't let them move. And they are, without meaning this in a negative way, they tend to be gunslingers, people who are willing to risk all to win all. And these are, I think, people who can get much more sympathy from large numbers of people than can people who have been corporate leaders for a long time. Trump has never really been a corporate leader. He's been someone who has used his own personality and his own enthusiasms to apparently make billions. I think whoever really got down to the facts of the case, Trump would turn out to be not nearly as solidly established a financial figure as we tend to think he is.
But does that mean, Tom Wolfe, that he is a fraud? He's a fraud when it comes to his true net worth, but he's also something of a fraud when it comes to the promises that he makes in order to win office, and that he won't now be able to deliver for the people who voted for him what he has promised.
Well, I'm afraid that's the nature of the political beast. If we track out all of the unsubstantiated predictions that politicians rather routinely make, I don't think the picture would turn out to be that much different from Trump's.
Of course, you're not particularly surprised by this outcome, are you? Because I was reading a piece that you did with the Sunday Times, an interview during the summer, and that issue of charisma was something that you picked up on, and you compared Trump to Ronald Reagan and Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Reagan is an interesting comparison, although he had certainly much more experience in government than Trump. I mean, Trump hasn't had any, whereas Reagan had been governor of California and so on. But in both cases, you have someone who's benefited from the fact that people tend to be politically correct. And there were a lot of dissatisfactions in California that Reagan took was just the man to speak about it in a direct way, with no attempt to ameliorate what he was saying with rhetoric. Trump is the same way. The things that he said at the beginning of this whole campaign were so politically incorrect. Yes, it put some people off, but it also ignited a whole segment of the population who said, yeah, that's what I believe too. And these are things most people could not say out loud. He said out loud a lot of things that reflected widespread prejudices.
Tom Wolfe, just a couple of things I want to ask you before I finish with you. One is about Hillary Clinton, because one of the impressions I got from observing this election campaign and what's particularly happened over the last 24 hours is that not that particularly people were enormously enamoured by the idea of Donald Trump as president, but they were appalled by the idea of Hillary Clinton. They just found her to be anathema to their beliefs, and they just could not warm to her or want her to be in office. Why do you think that was?
I think she has, if you look at her history, even with her own husband, she can be an extremely abrasive figure. Apparently, in many ways, she terrified her husband because she would suddenly explode in vituperative denunciations of minor things that, in his mind, comparatively minor things. And if you read about her campaign workers, they have the same feeling. They found her so argumentative and so blunt in her language that it either frightened them or made them very anxious to leave her in a circle. She did not have a great record to point to as Secretary of State, for example. But I think personality hurt her a great deal. Apparently, she's quick to anger, and many of her own closest supporters, or people who should have been her closest supporters, were just put off by her manner.
A final question to you. Tom, there would be certain books of yours that I would have loved. For example, I mentioned A Man in Full, The Bonfire of the Vanities, or even going back to Before You Turn to Fiction, The Right Stuff, your book about the astronauts from 1979. If there are listeners to The Last Word this evening who are not familiar with Tom Wolfe's work, of your work, which would you most like them to read?
Actually, it's one that was not that big a book in terms of sales, but it's Radical Chic and Mau Mau and the Flycatchers. It was about the sudden social desirability of seeming to be, particularly in New York, of being politically radical, at least far to the left. And in Mau Mau and the Flycatchers, which was the second part of the book, I had done a lot of reporting of various, usually racial and ethnic groups who were protesting during the poverty program in the United States back in the 60s, and they found that the more aggressive they became in meeting with government officials, the better results they had in terms of getting money from the poverty program. And the Flycatcher in the title, the Flycatcher was the government bureaucrat whose job it was to deal face-to-face with people, with various radicals whose strategy was to simply try to terrify them with their presence, with their anger. I suppose most fond of that book because I put such a premium on reporting. I think it's just, there's absolutely no substitute for reporting, being on hand, listening to what people are saying. And in those two cases, maybe I'm kidding myself, but I thought I did a pretty good job.
Tom Wolfe, it has been great having you on The Last Word here on Today FM this evening. We are delighted that you were able to join us. Thank you very much for doing so.
Well, I certainly appreciate your having me.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.